Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of March 2015. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Tug Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll take a quick look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture with Don Day at Day Weather. He's out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, so in that very dry area of the Great Plains and western United States. Let him update you on all the conditions there for winter wheat as it's coming out of dormancy. And we'll hear today from USDA NASS Illinois State Statistician Mark Schleusner. I talked to him this morning about the upcoming prospective planting and grain stocks reports. One is a survey, the other a census. We'll talk in detail about how those are collected and then tabulated by the National Agricultural Statistics Service right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's look now at the numbers as they finished up today. May contract in the corn pit at $3.71 was 8 cents lower on the afternoon. July futures at $3.79, down 8, and September corn, 386 and 3 quarters, 8 lower. December contract, 396 and 3 quarters, down 7 and a half cents. And the March at 406 and 3 quarters, down 7, that all in the corn pit. Soybeans were 14 and 3 quarters lower in the lead option May. $9.54 and a half, the settlement price. July at $9.59 and a half, down 14 and a quarter. And August soybeans at $9.59 and a quarter finished 13 and a quarter lower. September futures at $9.45 and three quarters, down 13 and a half cents. November beans $9.40, 11 and a half lower for the new crop. January at $9.45, next year's down 11 and a half cents. Wheat futures finished the Chicago hard red at $5.03 and a half, down 10 and a half. July at $5.06 and three quarters. Those are actually soft red, down 9 and three quarters. The hard red Kansas City, May, 12 and a quarter lower at 542 and three quarters. July at 548 and a half, down 11 and a quarter. Bean meal down $6.20 and bean oil 35 cents lower for the day. Live cattle futures, April contract 153.60 up 40, June up 50 cents at $145.47 and a half cents. Feeder cattle finished the nearby March at, or rather April at 210.7 and a half. That was up 2.5 cents. And lean hogs for the day in the April contract at $62.25, down 17 and a half. This is Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
In the outside markets for the day, April crude oil at $43.20, down 68 cents at this hour. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.69.6. That's 2 tenths of a cent lower. And the gasoline on the wholesale or RBOB at $1.73 even, up 2 tenths of a cent for the day. Natural gas at $2.85.3, 13 and 7 tenths of a cent higher for the afternoon. And ethanol futures, a settlement price at $1.42.3, a penny and 6 tenths higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average at about 17,847, up 86, or rather down 86 points. Gold futures at around $1,147, $5.50 lower. And the U.S. dollar at 99.94, that's down 0.101. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 50 degrees. It'll be breezy out there on a north wind at 16 to 20 miles an hour. It will gust to 30 today. Then tonight, mostly clear, a low of 25. Northeast winds will settle at 5 to 9 miles an hour. They'll turn calm after midnight. Winds could gust, though, before then as high as 15 miles an hour. And then Wednesday, partly sunny skies, a high of 49 on an east-southeast wind at 3 to 6. Winds tonight, cloudy and a low of 33, east winds at 5 to 7. Thursday, cloudy and 51. Thursday night, cloudy and 36. Friday, mostly sunny and 57 degrees. And Friday night, clear with a low of 39. On Saturday, sunny skies and a high of 55. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on their upcoming auction of 201 acres in Douglas County, Illinois, is at murraywiseassociates.com or at 217-398-6400.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. We always check in on this day of the week with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it was not a pretty day in Chicago for the grains and the oil seeds. Why did the futures move lower?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. Basically, we had sort of a trend change to the downside. We saw bear spreading coming in. It started things going a little lower, and then as we broke through some of the old chart points, why on down we went with a little more selling impacted, and it was just a very weak day. You know, the May futures dropped to their lowest level since October, and, you know, the low, late January low was 961, and, you know, like I said, if we go through this, why, which we did, that projects to a target downside of 931 to 937, so a lot of things going on that way. South America continuing to harvest along well. The weather is good. The farmers are selling aggressively down there, and they said probably one of the biggest rumors of the day was, you know, as they were talking about the possibility and unconfirmed rumors that some corn out of Brazil is moving into the southeast for the last half August, first half September time frame.
Well, that would be an interesting move and not unprecedented, although usually it's not corn, but rather bean meal that is, or soybeans that are moving into the southeast. So this would be a rumor to deal and reckon with over time. I do want to come back to the soybeans. Your discussions last night at our meeting at Farm Credit, and thank you for coming there, and then last week at the All Day Ag Outlook centered not only yours, but many of our analysts on the idea that we have already broken soybeans pretty good, and that really farmers who have done something have to set to the sidelines and wait this out. What about those who have not?
Well, you know, that is a real trouble thing here, because we've just watched these beans, you know, we closed new crop November beans down at 941 here tonight. We got down close there, and basically, you know, just a week or so, week and a half ago, we were sitting at $10, and those were good levels. We didn't mind locking in $10, you know, floors and things along the way. Down in here, and, you know, there can be another dollar move down if everything cooperates, the weather, everything along the way. But we do think it's a long time until harvest, and, you know, we've got the big planting report coming up that way. But if you haven't done something, I guess, you know, trying to lock in something maybe along with a put and sell a call up around the $10 mark. We were selling the $11 calls before against them, but doing something like that and maybe selling an 850 put along those lines as to we could do something to put a bottom in here. But, you know, it's just not a very profitable level to want to be locking in at 950.
A new crop corn, December contract, closing below $4 for the day. Down 7.5 now at $3.96¾. How disturbing is that close?
It's very disturbing. You know, the dollar, the even dollar amounts are generally very strong support, and now they turn into very strong resistance as we look ahead, Todd. You know, as we talked this listened this morning to some of the interviews of some of the people down in Brazil, they think that the safrina corn is going in fairly well, and they might actually get a little more planted than what was projected, rather than not as much as we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. So that's one of the things moving against us. The farmers selling in South America's been good. Argentina moved to the lowest price of beans compared to anybody in the world now. They had the lowest FOB prices in Argentina. Now they went under Brazil's. So, but the corn, you know, unfortunately, as we tried to read the crowd last night, I think there's a lot of farmers that got a lot of corn in the bins because they were asking about old corn and what to do with it last night. So that's one of the things hanging over our heads.
And do you have good suggestions for them?
Well, I think, you know, as we said last night, you need to move some to make sure to keep your corn in condition. You know, and around here, I guess, if you need to get a little bit moved for that sake, get it moved. If you want to replace with a call, fine. If not, just get it out of there and make sure your corn's in good shape. You know, with everything we've said, with all the farmers having old corn, unless we see some weather problems or we see a lot smaller number. Now, we should see Informa's number here at the end of the week. That number could help us for a little bit of a bounce out of here. But as I said, today's break through the $4 mark there and down around the other technical points is not a good sign for the next few days.
Am I right in what I think I have gathered over the last couple of weeks that in these kind of marketing conditions for corn, where at least to this point it looks pretty clear that there is an awful lot of corn that remains in the hands of farmers, and we'll find out a great deal more once we get to the survey results, which are due out March 31, and the grain stocks numbers, that it's a basis not necessarily a basis play, but it's the basis that does the work for producers and tells them when they have to make sales, and it's unlikely that futures will lead anything higher. Is that a
pretty good... I think you're 100% right, Todd, and basically along the way, you know, when they can get a tight basis, they need to be moving corn. We need to have some orders in at their elevators or ethanol plants or wherever the highest market is around for the meantime here to get a little bit moved, and it showed up basically the other day when we dropped hard on Friday. On Monday morning, there was a lot of the ethanol plants that had narrowed their basis in just to try to keep corn moving, and that's something they want to take advantage of. We need to sell that out. If you need to re-own it on the board feeling it's too low, that's okay. But, I mean, around in here, it's time to move a little corn, check your bins, and make sure they're doing okay.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. He joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, plus news and information. You can listen to some of the news stories that come out of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, USDA, NASS. Anything that we might cover on the air is right there on willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. We're joined now by the state statistician for Illinois, Mark Schleusner. He's here to discuss the upcoming reports due from USDA NASS, the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Of course, at the end of the month, as you well know, the prospective plantings report will be released along with the grain stocks figures. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Can you tell me about each of those reports, please?
Sure, I'd be glad to, Todd. For the planting intentions, we draw a sample of producers from all around the state. We've got more than 3,000 farms in a sample for Illinois. Our goal is to make sure that we're measuring small, medium, and large farms, so we use what's called a stratified sample. That's a fancy way of saying for the biggest farms, we're going to talk to all of them. For the large but not biggest, we'll draw a sample, maybe one out of three of those. And for medium size, maybe one out of 10. And for the smaller farms, there are lots of small farms in Illinois, and they do contribute to the total. We might only measure one out of 25 of those.
Can you tell me what the divisions are for the largest categories and the smallest categories? So how big is a big farm considered for the prospective plantings numbers?
I didn't do my homework on that one. It's going to be something approximately like 10,000 acres or more. Perhaps it's 5,000. I'm not quite sure. Or a large amount of grain storage capacity, let's say 1 million bushel storage capacity or 500,000 storage capacity, because we are measuring the supply of grains and oil seeds at the same time we're asking those producers about their planting intentions for 2015.
So you're tallying up what's on farm, too, so you know how much grain storage capacity they have at that point. And if that is large enough, then you go ahead and do the grain, the prospective plantings numbers survey at the same time?
Regardless of size, we will ask both sets of questions to our sample of producers. We will ask their acreage information, basically total land that they operate, and how much of that land do you intend to plant to corn, to to soybeans, how much land you have in wheat already planted last fall. We also ask about oats and sorghum and acres of hay to be harvested. And then for all of those producers, regardless of how much grain storage they have, we'll ask them, do you have any grain storage, and what is stored on the farm as of March 1?
You also survey grain elevators and other storage facilities?
Absolutely. To measure the whole supply of grains and oil seeds in Illinois, we've got to do what we call on-farm. That's with the producers, what they have in their grain storage bins. And off-farm, that's the mills and elevators. For the mills and elevators on March 1, we don't use a sample. We use a census. We contact all of them across the state. So small, medium, and large, we are trying to account for every bushel of grain, every bushel of soybeans stored off farms on March 1, 2015.
I would think that this would make at least that side of the grain stocks report very, very accurate.
That is our goal. And between the two, if you just add up the whole storage capacity, it's about even. All the farmer storage bins added together compared to all the ADMs and Cargills and grain elevators together, it's about even. Now, it changes across the season, right? Around December 1, it's mostly on the farms. But producers will market their crops as they see fit with as price changes, and that slowly moves to the mills and elevators, and then it gets on the barges and goes down the river or gets fed to livestock or turned into ethanol.
I understand that you are just one in 50 states that are doing this survey. Well, I don't know about Hawaii and Alaska, frankly, but at least the 48 contiguous states are doing the survey for the prospective planting report. There are some, 83,679 surveys. Are they sent out by mail and then followed up by phone? Because your response rate, I believe, is around 80%. Nationwide, this according to Lance Honig, Chief of the Crops Branch there at USDA NASS in D.C.
Yes, our goal is an 80% response rate on all surveys, and we use several methods of data collection. Every producer in a sample will get a letter saying, here's the reason why we're doing this. We're going to measure planting intentions, and we will put a questionnaire in there. That letter will also have instructions for reporting over the Internet on our secure website. That's, in our mind, the best way for a producer to report, but if they want to fill out the paper questionnaire and put it in the postage-paid business reply envelope, that works too. Either of those are both inexpensive ways of gathering data, and that saves the government money, and by that I mean we're saving your money and my money. For the people who do not respond via the mail, we'll start calling. And we'll also send out people to interview face-to-face. Both of those methods are more effective in general, but they also are more expensive.
Do farmers find this an okay thing? Do they find it too invasive? Or what's the response like generally?
It really depends upon the project. This one is not very intrusive. Probably the biggest difficulty we have on March 1 is something like, I haven't made all my decisions yet, and producers want to report precisely, exactly. At this point in time, we understand nobody's put a seed into the ground for corn and beans in Illinois, and we would love to have your best estimate. We think that's right. We think that's the best we can get at this time. I need to say a couple of things. Thank you to all the producers that have responded to our March 1 surveys. We really appreciate that. Your individual report is confidential by law. And because NASS is a statistical organization, there are special laws written to protect the data that we collect from individuals. The data are exempt from legal process. When we tabulate all of it together, we produce state-level and sometimes county-level reports that are very helpful to the agricultural community.
What's the deadline for the surveys to be completed?
We are ending all of our tabulation tomorrow. I believe it's lunchtime, noon tomorrow, Wednesday. So we've got almost all of our data collected. Our staff are mostly in St. Louis. Our staff are doing a lot of analysis. We have computer programs written to look at the data. And many of the producers we spoke to last December when we measured the end of the 2014 crop. And if their total land changes a large amount from December 2014 to March 2015, well, the computer is going to flag that. Maybe there's been a data entry error, and we put an extra zero on one of the numbers. So the computer programs are designed to catch that. if there's a small change, it'll let it go by. Large changes are flagged so an analyst can take a look at it and perhaps call back to the producer.
You mentioned St. Louis. Is this for the Heartland area? Is this for nationwide?
In St. Louis, we have two things going on. One is the Heartland region that covers Illinois and Missouri. There's a group of about 25 analysts that are working on the Illinois and the Missouri surveys right now. Also in St. Louis, at that same location, is a large group of people making phone calls all around the country and keying data from all around the country and doing other national-level processes.
At what point is it all transitioned into a single report?
The last few days before publication. What will happen after we tabulate in Illinois, there's an analysis period. We're going to look at a balance sheet Friday morning. I mean, if you add up all the corn, soybeans, wheat, hay, et cetera, CRP in Illinois, if you add all that up, that's pretty darn constant across years. That doesn't change much. The mix changes. There may be more corn or more soybeans this year than last year, and so we'll make an individual estimate on corn and soybeans and wheat and hay. But then we'll add them all up and compare to previous years, and you know, does the sum of the parts make sense? And we're going to do that Friday morning, and then we'll submit our estimates in an encrypted file to our Washington, D.C. headquarters. There will be more analysis done under secure conditions, and the report comes out March 31.
Do you have an idea of how much the final survey results are subjective and how much of it might be objective, meaning how much of it is just a simple pass-through of the data collected from farmers and how much of it might be made up of some subjective movement of that data as it's based on historical accounts and adjusted by USDA staff?
Todd, I understand your question, but I'm not sure I can give a very precise answer. The people working on these estimates have been trained in statistics and in agriculture. The staff working for NASS are primarily gifted in two general areas, agricultural knowledge, also mathematical and statistical knowledge. And the sum of those two together is what's required to do a good job for NASS. So we are looking at what the numbers show, what comes out of the computer, some number. But we're also looking at how that compares to previous surveys and to other factors. For instance, this balance sheet approach is a way to check that we don't go off the rails a little bit by maybe a little bit too high on corn, a little bit too high on soybeans, a little bit too high on wheat. A little bit each time can add up to a lot, and the balance sheet approach makes sure we don't go in that direction, that we can correct ourselves because of our knowledge of how the state is.
Thank you so much for all the work and for taking the time before these surveys to explain something about them. I know they are looked forward to with great anticipation, some fear occasionally too, by both the trade and the farmers.
Well, you're very welcome, Todd. I enjoy speaking to the group, and I'd like to say thank you again to all the producers, both crops, and we also did a quarterly hog survey, and we've got other projects working. For everyone who's responded to us, we thank you very much. You're doing your part to help tell the story of Illinois agriculture.
Mark Schlesner is the Illinois State Statistician based in the Heartland region of the Illinois Field Office, United States Department of Agriculture, National Agricultural Statistics Service. You can find this interview to listen to it again if you'd like on our website. The address there is WILLAG.org. In just a couple minutes, we'll be back and we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Green Beer Day. The holiday is thought to have begun in the early 1940s on the campus of Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, during a time when the U.S. was experiencing grain shortages during World War II. Bars and restaurants in Oxford today opened as early as 4:30 a.m. to serve green eggs and ham and green bagels to hungry students. It's also St. Patrick's Day in honor of Ireland's patron saint. Celebration of St. Patrick began in 1737 among Irish immigrants to the U.S., where the first St. Patrick's Day Parade was held in Boston, organized by the Charitable Irish Society. It's also St. Gertrude Day. She is known as the patron of gardeners. On this day in agricultural history in 1751, Anders Dahl was born, a renowned Swedish botanist. The Dahlia flower was named for him. In 1834, Gottlieb Wilhelm Daimler was born. He invented the first high-speed combustion engine in 1883. 2 years later, he added a carburetor and built what some say was the world's first motorbike. He followed that up in 1886 with the construction of a four-wheeled automobile capable of a speed of 11 miles per hour. And in 1845, Englishman Steve Perry received a patent for the rubber band. It was made from vulcanized rubber, but the idea originated with Thomas Hancock, who around 1820 sliced up a bottle made out of the tree milk of the Southern American rubber tree. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us. Don, can you tell me about weather conditions? I think I'd like to start right in your area because there is some concern about the western United States, dry condition, and wheat coming out of dormancy, what kind of season it might see to begin this 2015.
Well, yeah, definitely. The West, from the Western High Plains to the Rockies of the West Coast, has been dry. And one reason for that, all the stormy weather has been directed to the record-setting snows and cold along the East Coast and into the central part of the United States. I do see a pattern developing next week late and into early April that could really favor a more wet pattern for those western wheat areas. So there is help on the way, but it's going to be probably another week to 10 days before there's any consistent precipitation chances in those areas. There are some chances for precipitation between now and then, but spotty.
This is one of those common themes at the times of year when we change from warm to cold or cold to warm, that things can move pretty quickly. And so I suspect that we'll be watching closely how this develops and whether it means we'll have rainfall for the rest of the season too.
Well, yeah, this is the time of year where the patterns that tend to get locked into place during the winter begin to break down. And honestly, what we're seeing right now is still some of the winter locked-in patterns that we've had all season. But as we get into the last week of this month, as we get into the first couple weeks of April, we'll see that break down, and that means more storms moving more quickly coast to coast, and we will see the weather pick up, especially in the central and western areas of the United States. But the east still probably has some more winter weather, believe it or not, to go through before they're done.
This despite the fact that the vernal equinox is Friday. That is a demarcation of sorts. How quickly do you suppose we'll begin to warm up in central Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota as well? Farmers somewhere from the Delta region who are now lagging behind all the way up through the Corn Belt will be anxious to at least get into the field and scratch some earth.
I think we're still going to have to wait till we get into that second week of April before a more consistent warmer pattern comes in. While there's going to be bouts of warmer weather like we have now, we still see some opportunities to get colder. So it's probably going to be another couple of weeks before things settle down and get consistently warmer.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear him again, in fact, all of our agricultural programming from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between, and our flagship program, Commodity Week, right there at WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.